Love you, man. Thank you. Laurie, you want to come say hi? Yeah, sure. Hi.
It's been a long time since I've been able to be in
Bryan College Station. Yay. Come on, guys. How many of you went to the game yesterday? Did none of you go? Three. Great. Four, five, six. It was good, wasn't it? Close, but good. Shouldn't have been that close. But it's good. Good to be with you guys. Good to see you. If you didn't hear yesterday, we talked about how do you walk out of pain. How many of you realize you can't walk out of it until you walk into it? As long as you spend most of your time trying to hide it, suppress it, cover it up, you're never going to get through it. It's always going to be there, and it's going to raise up its ugly head and bite you in the beep when you're least expecting it. This morning, I want to talk to you. The title of my little talk is Understanding the Times. How do you think? How many of you think that might be relevant right now? One of my favorite guys, probably my most favorite guy in all of the Old Testament, is King David. Moses right behind him, Abraham right behind him. But I like David. You know, I just like the guy. You know, he's passionate, he's driven, he's got a purpose. But he's just a man. I mean, he made so many mistakes. He would obviously be disqualified of being a leader at any church today. But his journey is absolutely incredible. Not unlike the times we're walking through right now. David's on this journey to become king. He's already been anointed, but he has to go through this process so that Israel fully recognizes him as the king. And it's kind of like our presidential elections. How many of you voted? If you haven't, you better get your out there and vote. You know, instead of elections, though, they didn't fight with words of deception like they do today. They actually fought. They took on their swords. So, you know, David's at Ziklag. CNN's reporting that he's behind in the polls. But at every rally, the crowds are increasing. People are coming from every tribe. In 1 Chronicles 12, Fox News is actually naming the different people groups that are coming to David just to support the fact that the crowds are getting bigger and bigger. And I want you to note one special group from one special tribe. And they're going to kind of become the focus of our reflections this morning. 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "And of the sons of Issachar," can you say the word Issachar? You probably don't want to name your kid that, but, you know, "of the sons of Issachar, they had men who came who understood the times and had knowledge of what Israel should do." Understood the times, had knowledge of what Israel should do. Understood the times. You know, you might think, well, that's Old Testament. But did you know in the book of Revelations, you still find all these tribes intact? There's still expressions of each tribe in the earth in the communities of faith right now. For example, you have some particular groups of Christians that are incredible in the praise area. And I mean, they're writing songs and they're drawing huge crowds in the stadiums when they can have stadiums. They're part of the tribe of Judah that's being expressed in the earth. Are y'all okay with that? So also in the body of Christ are these guys, the men and women of Issachar. Who are they? They understood the times, and they had knowledge of what we should do. How many of you think that's a good point? Amen, Bob. That's a good point. Now, let me pause for a moment. I want to speak prophetically, but I want to kind of guide you through the scriptures on some of this stuff. How many of you realize a lot of what's going on right now is just anarchy? That's probably the best word I could find. It really settles in my spirit. You know, by definition, do you know what anarchy is? By definition, it is designed to connect you with any line of authority. So we defund, we discredit in order to disconnect. Y'all tracking? Now, as it happens in the natural physical, I want you to also understand it's happening in the spiritual. For nearly everything you see going on in the natural physical world, there's a corresponding fight going on in the spiritual world. Amen, Bob. That's good. Y'all gonna have to help me. There's this incredible war going on for our faith. And our faith is what determines our system of beliefs. And it's that system of beliefs that determine our values. And it's those values which guide our choices. This morning I'm going to talk to you a little bit about one of those arenas, one of those areas of confusion that is the result of spiritual anarchy. And I call it emotional theology. You're making notes, write that down. Emotional theology. Now, this is not a theology about your emotions, but it is a theology that is derived from your emotions. So let's become men and women of Issachar. Let's understand what's going on in these times of anarchy, confusion, detachment from authority, emotional theology. Remember, the very essence, the very definition of anarchy is to detach you from authority. Pause there for a moment. Believers, where is your authority? Where do you get your understanding of God? What speaks to you authoritatively about your who God is? And come on, talk to me. Most of the time, most believers will say it's the Scriptures. I agree. Now, let me throw you just a little hair of a curve, but not a big one. 2 Peter 1:12 says this, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them." That sounds good. "And have been established in the truth which is present with you." If you want to know an answer to anarchy, there it is. You got to get established in the truth. He didn't say that was present. He says is present. Present truth. So how many of you realize you can sit and read your Bible and you can become a history student and totally secular, have no relationship with God? You can still read the Bible and come away with something. You'll come away with a history lesson. Unless Holy Spirit is the one whispering and bringing to life the things that you're reading. The word which is spoken. Present truth. Are y'all okay with that? All right, I'm just trying to show you where we're going. I want to start with a question. How many of you have ever had something happen in your life bad? Had something bad happen in your life? Raise your hand, rest of you are lying. You've had a bad experience, you've had a bad date, you had a broken friendship, a lost job, a lost spouse, a lost marriage. You've had something bad in your life. And in those moments, what is the most common response? Why? We begin to scream out to God, why do bad things happen to good people? Or just why do bad things happen? And we make all this incredible attempt to understand what is happening within life. How many of you are still trying to understand something that has happened in your life? Okay, so plain and simple, one of the reasons bad things happen is because the world's full of people. And how many of you realize not all people are good people? Now, I believe the Bible teaches that all people are made in the image of God. Shake your heads. But not all people allow this image to find expression. They don't make choices that connect them to that image and release that image through their lives. But instead, they follow other dictates of their heart. Of what? Their heart. Of what? Their emotions. Let me add another thought. Matthew 5, verse 45. Jesus says, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What does that mean? That means that those blessings from God happen regardless of what a person did or didn't do. Hey, that's good, Bob. That's good. So why does a marathon runner in perfect health die at the age of 35 from cancer? Why does the guy who's been on a diet of beer and Twinkies live to be 100? But the reality is this, if you're listening, The most difficult things in life, the hard things in life, are beyond our understanding. Do you recall a little proverb about chapter 3? It says, lean not unto your own understanding. I can tell you one thing I know, is that the journey in this life where we're walking, even right now, is primarily not an intellectual journey. It's not something you're going to figure out logically. It's not one you're going to gather in all the cause and effect. This caused this. But rather, it's a journey that's highly affected by what you feel. It's primarily an emotional journey. So our understanding is no longer an intellectual process, but now it becomes an emotional process. Are y'all tracking with me okay? All right, just checking. But many times when we don't understand, we grow weary of not understanding, we grow emotionally fatigued, so we bury our pain. We medicate our pain. Yesterday, if you were here, you discovered that you can't walk out of your pain until you allow yourself to feel the pain. Healing only comes on the other side of pain. That's why I call it pain with a promise. What's the promise? The promise is God causes all things to work together for good. If it's not good yet, don't stop. God's still fulfilling His promise to you. In our Western culture, we're very rational. We're calculating. We like it when 2 + 2 = 4. I see it, I understand it. I can explain it. I can control it. You know, ancient historians teach us that when the rabbis would get together and they're studying the Torah or the prophets, whenever they would find something that they didn't understand, that they would celebrate, they'd rejoice. They'd read a passage and say, I have no idea what this means. And they'd get all fired up. They'd break into celebration because it reminded them that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. It was a celebration that I'm not ever going to fully understand. And it's okay. Can you begin to see how liberating that can be? When you can say, I don't understand, and I'm not going to understand, and I don't care if I do understand. If I have a pastor friend that Paul knows, John, and he told me about an article he'd read from a scientific journal, and it suggested that all the matter in the universe that the scientists have discovered amounts to less than 4% of what is actually out there. In other words, we actually know about 4%. So the Earth, the stars, the asteroids, the comets, everything just make up about 4% of what we know and understand. The other 96% is what they call dark matter. It's things we don't understand. Later, my friend John told me he was talking with a college kid at a restaurant who was waiting on him. And he was all fired up about this article he just read, and he was trying to connect with this kid. So he says to the kid, he says, did you know that scientists basically say there's only 4% of our universe that's known, and 96% is something that we don't know, but we have absolute need for it, because that article said it's the other 96% that holds everything together. And the kid looks at him and said, man, you know, that's really cool. Then he told John, he said, I just learned in my geology class that only 4% of the underground caves and caverns in the earth have been discovered and mapped, and 96% of what's under the earth, including the ocean, has yet to be discovered or explored. Wow. So from science, you understand that 96% is stuff you can't see, you don't understand. But it's necessary because it holds all things together. That's what science says. The same article went on to say that 4% of the universe, the part that we do know, is comprised primarily of nitrogen, carbon, and oxygen, the primary elements that make up the stars, that make up you, that makes up me. Now, that makes perfect sense to me because all of us were created from one thing. What is that one thing? Genesis says, and God said. God's voice, His word, is the common source of all origin. Are y'all okay? Okay, I know your brains are working. That's good. So some of the elements that make up the earth, the stars, you and me, he spoke it all into existence. Even the 96% that's not known, that science says holds all things together. So your life after hurts, your life after loss, your life after divorce, it isn't linear. It's not like over time you're going to eventually come to a corner and it's all going to be well and you're going to understand everything. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that the most difficult situations in life, the hard stuff, will be stuff we don't understand. Therefore, the Lord exhorts us to not lean onto our own understanding. Now think about this. What are the events in your life that have caused you to grow the most? The promotions? The new car? No, it's the painful experiences, the circumstances that we do not want and cannot explain that tend to shape us. The things that you don't want to put into language in your diary because you really don't understand. Well, you may think, and I'm coming to my point for this morning, you may think I'm finally going to be at peace when I understand why. The problem with that line of thinking is I may not fully understand why ever in my life. Therefore, I'm setting myself up for anxiety and stress. You see, I need a peace that comes into my life that I can connect to, that I can find, regardless of what I understand. I was hoping you'd say that. Philippians 4, verse 7 declares this, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying there's a peace that I find that I can connect to, that can engulf me, that can guide me, even when I can't understand. Here's where I want you to go. I want you to understand that understanding is not the goal. It's nearly an oxymoron, isn't it? It's at least a bit of a paradox. I want you to understand that understanding is not the goal. If I make understanding the target, it can't be hit. But if I make peace the target, it can't be missed. Boy, write that down. That's good. If I make understanding the target, it's not going to be hit. But if I make peace the target, it's not going to be missed. In your life, if you're not fully understanding why I was betrayed, why did the relationship fail, why did I lose my job, why you fill in the blank. If instead you realize that instead of fully figuring it all out, if you realize that it's okay to not figure it all out, then you'll find a peace which God brings that passes understanding. And that peace will guard your heart. By the way, that's the word emotions. And it will guard your minds. What's that? That's where you reason, where you figure things out. So understanding leads to peace. No, peace is what guards your heart and your mind. Man, I hope you're getting this. This is really huge. Okay, let me give you a last thought to conclude this reflection. Now, I'm not a long preacher, but I try to give you enough to swallow that in the 15, 20 minutes we share, by the time you get through, you'll still be chewing this time tomorrow. Okay, let me give you one more. Paul says in Colossians 1, 15 through 17, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens, on the earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things have been created by Him and for Him. Now listen to this last part. That was the introduction. Here's the verse. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Boy, that's a Bible verse to shout during anarchy. The unknown things are held together by Christ. He is the one thing in all things, through all things. He's the sustainer of all things, even the things I don't understand. He himself is before all things, verse 17. He's preeminent. It's an amazing statement. And in him all things hold together. By the way, Paul uses in Greek what we call a perfect tense that has a continuous action. In other words, he didn't just create us and leave us out there on our own. He is sustaining us and continuing to sustain us right now, even in the face of everything that you see that is chaotic. He is the one right now that causes the sun to keep shining. He's the one right now that causes gravity to allow us to all be in our place. Some of us more than others. In Jesus, all things are continually held together. Did you ever hear anybody use the phrase? Maybe you used it. Man, I'm losing it. I just can't hold it all together. Well, good. You don't have to. That's his job. Jesus is doing that. He is with me in all things. Man, it's so good to know that there is a peace that passes understanding. It's good to know that when I don't understand things, I can still connect with peace that guards my heart and guards my thought processes, even my understanding. Christ is all of that. He holds all things together. Hebrews says, Jesus is the radiance of his glory, exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. I love that. Just a word from Jesus and all things are held together. Every minute you and I live, it's just a result of his sustaining grace. That's how big he is. All the good things in life, all the difficulties and painful things. He causes all things to work together. All things are held together by him. The wound, the rejection, the loss, the battle with cancer. You never ask for them. You never wish them on your worst enemy. But you don't have to run from them. You don't have to bury them. You don't have to anesthetize them. Because he'll use everything for good. He holds everything together. Y'all doing okay? During times of chaos, when the tendency and anarchy is to separate us and disconnect us, keep listening. Keep praying. Stay connected. That's your biggest tool of discernment. Stay connected. Here, me, Jesus. Knowing that he holds all things in place. Knowing that there is a peace that passes understanding. So when you struggle to find answers and you don't find answers, you go back there. God, thank you. You hold all things in place. You work all things together for good. Thank you, God, that I can connect with the peace that will engulf my mind and my heart, my emotions and my thoughts. That doesn't mean you don't have to watch what you put into your mind and heart. Watch what you watch. Watch what you listen to. Watch who you hang with. It doesn't mean you discard those. You still need to do those. We talked about that yesterday. But it brings incredible relief when you know his peace comes and it passes your understanding. If you're aiming at understanding, trying to figure it out, why, you're going to miss it. But if you aim at peace, you won't miss it. And you can go through times of turbulence and you're still chilling. Why? Because I got peace that passes understanding. And man, common sense just walked out of the room.
So we really need some peace that passes understanding. Amen? All right, come on, stand to your feet. You're great. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. If you're comfortable putting your arm around the person next to you, holding their hand, ask you to do that. If not, that's okay too. You know, you can hold their mask or whatever you do. And I want you to just to kind of pray for the person you got your arm around. Pray, God, give them peace that passes understanding, no matter what God, you know their circumstances and situations. And I ask beyond their ability to understand the whys, the cause and effects, that you cause peace to invade and engulf their hearts. Not anxiety. By the way, one of the key ways you know what you're aiming at is whether your life is filled with anxiety and stress. If it is, you're aiming at the understanding rather than the peace. So you pray for that person you got your arm around, or if you don't have your arm around someone and you want to have your arm around someone, then pray for them. Oh, Lord. Come on. Bow your heads, just whisper prayers. God, cause your peace to come that passes all understanding. Lord, we trust you in every way we know how. And Lord, even beyond that trust, we would continue to walk with you with enduring trust, having to go through some hard things for trust to really manifest. But God, even if our answers don't come in the way we think they ought to come, we know you cause all things to work together. And God, this day, I pray for your peace that passes all understanding to engulf the hearts and the minds of the men and women that are standing here, the men and women that are listening to the sound of this message. Holy Spirit, come, bring your peace. You hold all things in place. Lord, our minds are so finite and you're so infinite. We don't even understand 4%. But it's all that other 96%. It all came from you. It was breathed by you. It was spoken by you. So, Jesus, I ask that you just speak words into the hearts and minds and lives of these men and women. Of comfort, of peace. Father, thank you anarchy doesn't have rule and reign because we're connected to you. Thank you, Father, that you give us a truth which is so present that connects us to you. Thank you. Lord, we speak our love to you. Lord, we again affirm our intentions to grow closer to you on a day-by-day basis, to talk with you, to listen to you, to worship with you. We affirm our intentions to do these things. So, Lord, let peace which passes understanding guard hearts and minds. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Good to be with you, Paul.